think when I submitted my abstract last summer, I wasn't really sure that I would have something to say about morphology, so I kind of kept it out of the title. But no, in fact, I have some morphology to talk about today. Phylgora plant hoppers are, as you can see from these photos that I've taken, are pretty charismatic insects, and they're well known because of the unusual head morphology displayed by many species. But despite the fact that they're really well known entomologically, no one has ever presented any hypothesis of a phylogeny for this group. And so last year at ESA, I did exactly that. So using molecular data that I generated from 5 genes, I reconstructed the phylogeny of Phylgorida and found that I did not have a monophyletic Phylgorida due to the placement of this genus Xana outside of Dictyopharidae plus Phylgorida. I recovered a monophyletic lineage of New World Phylgorids, suggesting that Phylgorids originally diversified in the Old World and a single lineage subsequently colonized the New World. And I also found what appeared to be multiple gains and losses of the unusual Phylgorid head process. So taken together, my conclusions were, okay, because classification, particularly the higher classification of Phylgorida, is based upon characters of the head process, those results left us with a suggestion of the need for a revision of Phylgorida. And so as you know, especially when this is your dissertation research, you can't leave it there. So I'm back. And so what I've done is I've added a morphological data matrix. And with my combined molecular morphological data, I'm actually testing the higher classification of Phylgorida. And if, in fact, there is a need for a revision, having morphological data can kind of give us something to go on, hopefully, for such a revision if necessary. And with this larger data set, I can further examine Phylgorid biogeography. So the classification of Phylgorida that I tested was that as defined by Lelmond. And so currently we have taxa representing all 8 subfamilies and 10 of 11 tribes. But unfortunately, some of these are singletons, so I could actually test 6 of the 8 subfamilies and 7 of 11 tribes. And I did those tests using Shimadera Hasegawa topology tests to test for family, tribe, and subfamily monophyling. The morphological data that I generated comprised 110 characters, and these were characters and character states that I got from the literature on Phylgoroidea. Some of them I got from literature on Phylgorida based on diagnostic features of subfamilies, tribes, genera, and species. I also consulted some ongoing projects, Charles Bartlett, who's using morphological data to reconstruct phylogeny of Delphacidae, Rick Donoval working on Dictyopharids to look at their characters, but also I use literature that's for other plant hopper families to see what was important in those classification schemes. My molecular data comprised approximately 5,000 base pairs from ribosomal DNA, nuclear protein coding genes, and a mitochondrial gene. And these I collected and scored my morphological characters for 69 Phylgorids and 10 outgroup taxa. And so for scoring my morphological data, I scored the morphology either of the actual Phylgorid from which I extracted the DNA, or if not that, species, the same species collected from the same locality. All right, so what did I find? My maximum parsimony topology, basically I found greater resolution with the inclusion of the morphological data. 99 of 110 characters were deemed parsimony informative, but examining these character states across my topology and looking at my partition Bramer support showed me that the morphology is really adding signal for more recent divergences in my topology. I similarly, as I found with molecular data alone, I found Xana placed outside of an otherwise monophyletic Phylgorida. And again, I recovered a more recently diversifying monophyletic New World lineage. Results of my topology test indicated a significant rejection of Phylgorida as monophyletic, and I significantly rejected the monophyly of 4 of the 6 subfamilies and 4 of 7 tribes that I was able to test, so suggesting we need a revision here. I used Bayesian methods also to reconstruct a phylogeny, and I got rather similar results, particularly with the placement of Xana. Again, I recovered a monophyletic New World lineage with less resolution than under parsimony. But I also saw what I thought was a pretty interesting result. I found a monophyletic clade of taxa from Australia and Papua New Guinea, and with the exception of Zosophora in light blue at the top, the remaining taxa that I had from Africa and Asia also formed a clade, so suggesting to me that perhaps we're seeing some two old world lineages as well. Clearly, it's obvious I need greater taxonomic representation of the old world lineages, but I think we're starting to see an interesting biogeographic pattern emerge here. Okay, so kind of putting these two things together, to me, this is my best guess, my hypothesis for fulgurid phylogeny, where we're starting to see this biogeographic pattern of two old worlds and one new world lineage. And so this is the topology that I use to examine my character states. And so, looking at the head process, because that is kind of the cool thing, I wanted to show you actually what it means when I say the head process appears rather variable across the topology. What I've done is I'm just going to go through my topology and show you what the head process looks like. For those taxa that have an extended head process, I drew those in a lateral view, and those that don't, I drew in a dorsal view. And so you can see these are dictyopherid outgroups with an extended head process. So kind of taken together, it appears that, wow, you really see tremendous variability in that head process, and no wonder if the head process is the basis for subfamily classification, no wonder it's not really upheld. The head process appeared to be informative at more shallow and intermediate levels of the topology. But also, I mapped the presence and absence of the head process across my topology using McClade, and those results suggested that the head process was lost. It was present ancestrally and lost between 4 to 6 times in fulgurid evolution. So where does that leave us for the classification? If we don't have the head process to go on, what do we have? Well, as I had said, many of my characters were informative primarily at shallow levels, but I did have some characters that do appear to be informative at deeper levels. And while they need some further revision, we can start to look at some of them. I had a number of characters associated with the shape of the fronds, and what you can see here, just kind of showing it, in the pink box, you see in dictyopherids, you see a very long, elongate fronds, parallel-sided. Among the old world taxa, delimited by the green box, you see still parallel-sided fronds, but a shortening of the face. The more anciently diversifying new world clade here, you see that the fronds becomes a little bit wider at the base, and you have more of a triangular shape pointed toward the top of the head, and then the fronds greatly becomes broadened, and then you have an inverted triangle in the new world clade. So again, I need to pull some things together, but it appears that the frond is informative. Similarly, I had a number of characters associated with wing venation, and one you can see well here, hopefully. And these are kind of works in progress, my wing venation, my wing illustrations. But in the dictyopherid outgroup, you see that the cross venation is restricted to the apical third of the wing. Among the old world taxa, you see that the taxa from Asia and Africa still have cross venations restricted to the apical third. But in the Australian and Papua New Guinea clade, you see a rather uniform distribution of cross veins. Among the New World, you either see a uniform distribution of cross veins that are increasingly more dense, and then in this clade down here at the bottom depicted in orange, you see either a uniform distribution or you actually see a greater concentration of cross veins in the basal two-thirds. So my conclusions, we need a revision. Perhaps these wing, venation, and frond characters may be useful. Clearly, we need additional character systems. But because our deepest splits seem to correspond to these biogeographic lineages, our subfamily classification should really reflect those biogeographic lineages. And the emerging picture of fulgurid phylogeny is that we're seeing this biogeography in nucleotide sequence data and morphology, and I've been exploring their endosymbionts as well, as work on light microscopy has shown that Alcantarancha have many symbionts. Just kind of show you my result. Although I have more than 20,000 equally parsimonious trees, my endosymbiont tree on the right is still recovering monophyletic lineage of New World bacteria in Polgorts. So hopefully we'll have more to talk about next year with that. That's it. I'd like to thank many of you for helping me with these specimens. This wouldn't be possible without the generous work of other folks who have collected, particularly Kelly Miller, Gavin Bitsenth, and you've done a lot to really make this project what it is. Thank you. No, not that I've ever measured or recorded or observed in specimens, but I've looked for that. I've actually gone in the field for the dragon-headed insect and measured to see if there's a size difference. But yes, it really looks, when you see something like that, there's some taxa that even have a red ball at the end. It kind of screams sexual selection, perhaps, but none that I know of.